Great mind thinks alike. Ayah, sadu. Oh, very good. Ah, sadu. Hey, sadu. Oh, you're here. Ah, yeah, sadu. Yeah. We are still early, don't worry. Yeah. Ah, sadu. Oh, you're here. Ah, good, good. Brother Tan is there, this one. Huh? Yeah, sadu. I heard you donate your Kayanamita fund, huh? Sadhu to you. I know. I rejoice. Very good, Sadhu. It's very good, very kind of you, Sadhu. You can have that. That one, I think you may have already, isn't it? That one, give to him. He hasn't got yet. Oh la, this one, the first early days one, the email compilation. Okay, yeah. The 3 phases of Dhamma. 3 phases of Dhamma you don't have. This one is a chart that summarize to you the cultivation. It summarize to you the cultivation. There are 3 phases of Dhamma cultivation. Those from clan, you don't have that book, Buddha's Ancient Path. You can have it on the bookshelf there. The Buddha's Ancient Path, they got both English and Mandarin. Four Thoda Kutao. If you prefer Mandarin, there's a copy there. You can sit anywhere. It's up to you. For free distribution. I know. You see who helping, put there. The transcript on the 12 September 2013 last year is very useful. You have to have a copy so that you can read it out before you come, so that you know what this meditation is all about, and you know how to do it accordingly. That is the one. That is the one. So you read through, you will understand how to develop the meditation. Then it will be very much easier. We can save some time. Okay, in the meantime, you got any question or anything that you want to discuss, you can ask while waiting for the rest to come in. Yes. Can, yeah. Okay, we get. Oh, Suyan already on the thing. Very good. Okay. Recording, your question is very good. So you were asking the question, which is a better way to develop the cultivation, whether it's a very challenging condition or a very conducive condition, isn't it? So the question is not when or which. The answer is, are you suitable for which one? When you are new, you should go to a more conducive place, quiet place, so that you can learn to quiet down, so that you understand if the environment is not conducive, this mind that has not been trained cannot do anything about it. Understand? You only go into challenging condition to test yourself when you are ready. Understand? And then you go into life. That's why I came out to work in the private sector. After I have developed the understanding and the training in 1989, I decided to come out of a very comfortable government job, semi-government, super skill. I came out. I want to go into the private sector and test myself. That's why I joined the private sector. And I joined the private sector for the next 11 over years. Then that time was very interesting. You can really understand clearly what the Buddha meant by the third phase of Dhamma. Yeah, that is the phase where you're supposed to live the Dhamma. Understand? Live according to the understanding that you have. If you cannot live it, means that type of Dhamma which you think you have is not the real one. So no matter how challenging the condition is, when you are ready, you are always at peace. Like private sector, the one I went to, oh, this is like a madhouse, real madhouse. Because it's very high level of what they call private sector engagement. I was with a consultant, then later on, I was with a listed company, main board, public listed company, means with the corporate world. Yeah. So initially, in the consultant also, after I joined the company, just before I joined the company, that consulting firm was going through a recession, cut pay until level 2%, the boss and the partner. Then they kena cut pay until a lot of people were retrenched. Then, you know, 1987, deep recession, remember? 86, 87. 88 was not so bad. Then, end of 88, beginning of 89, Chinese New Year, my classmates, they all came to my house for a Chinese New Year gathering. Then, during that time, everybody was talking about job, everything, because a lot of them are out of job, retrenchment. There are many classmates, civil engineer, without job for 2 years. But I was so lucky, you know. Everybody cut pay, retrench, I get promoted. Because I was with the government. Then I did very well. I was ahead of time. I was promoted to super skill after 3rd year. Supposed to have to wait for 7 years, but I was acting on that post. Yeah. Then after that, upon the 7 year, I was confirmed on the super skill. Then I got promoted. That was the time, the only time, where my salary is higher than private sector. Before that, always below private sector. Then when I joined this consultant, from recession, it turned around, and I make so much money for them. That's like whoever hired me, fatat one, I tell you. I make so much money for them, they decided to increase the pay every year twice, every 6 month review. Then, never pay bonus on. After that year onward, every year pay bonus, minimum 6 months. That was the extent. Then after that, because I was involved in some of the project and the client like us, we undertook very big project, very major project. We even go for privatization until Prime Minister's department. Then I did a lot of this 5-star hotel, Shangri-La and Hotel Istana. Fully involved in Hotel Istana. Almost from head to end until delivery. So all this happened because there were conditions for it. Then of course you can say I am lucky, but I can tell you nothing to do with luck. It's all your karmic inheritance and your spiritual inheritance. That's why when I look back on my life, I say cannot be like that one. Even I say allow you to plan, no, you plan also cannot make it so perfect. Understand? plan also can go wrong, I tell you. Then no matter how you plan also cannot be so perfect. Because everything just happen and fall into place. Ask you to plan also, you can never think of that type of plan. And it just so beautifully fall into place. Then all the meetings were very high level, very, very high level. It involved all the big guns. Then you can be told off in the meeting, especially Hotel Istana meeting. When I went for the first meeting with my classmate, nobody dare to go. All the senior engineers who went there kena firing until they not attend. Then my classmate called me, where he is the partner. He said, "Tio, can you help?" I said, "What is it?" He said, "The Hotel Istana meeting, very, very, very difficult." I said, "Okay, you pass me the file." I only read the file 1 hour before the meeting. Then I went there. When I reached there, I was early. I make it a point to be early. And you know what happened? When I reached there, the architect was a very famous one. That firm belonged to Mateo, son-in-law. It's not son-in-law, brother-in-law. That Tan Sri Wat Zainal. He owned the firm. That's why he's the architect. And his partner is Elvin, Chinese. Then he got a project architect who chaired the meeting. He was with a client, talking, having a nice time. Then I went into the room. I say, "Is this the place where the meeting is?" He said, "Yes." "Who are you?" The first thing the architect asked. The moment I speak my company's name, he said, "Another new one." I say, "Yes, another new one." So he thought, very difficult one. So when the meeting start, he got a shock. But this new one is a very different one. So that's how, after that, the whole thing turned around, and the architect actually was very grateful that I went there. Because there were a lot of things not right with the drawings, and a lot of problems they cannot resolve. Then, when I turned it around, actually the problem was not with my company. But because those who go to meeting, they couldn't take the pressure. They can't even talk and speak and defend. So what happened was, because I read the file, I know what is going on, I read the minutes, then I checked in my office. Then I realized the architect drawing not enough detail and got some problem. Then when I went there, the contractor, Yu Tiong Lei, the son-in-law, Stanley Yeo, he sat next to me. Then he talked to me. He said, "You are Tio." I said, "I heard you are new." I said, "Yes." He said, "This meeting, heavy one." He said. I said, "I know." Then I told him, I said, "Why every time the minute you write, my company is the one that is at fault?" He called me softly. He said, "Please, inside meeting, don't talk. After I talk to you." He said, "The architect, you cannot say anything in front of him. Otherwise, he take revenge on you." And the contractor very scared of him. And he dare not blame the architect. Actually, a lot of things is architect haven't come out with the drawing. So when the meeting start, when it come to our item, again, the minute was very, very detrimental to our whole company. But I answered, I said, "The contractor is next to me. I want to ask him, what is it that he's waiting for?" He said, "This amendment drawing hasn't come out." I said, "Architect drawing hasn't come out, how can the structure engineer produce drawing?" Then the architect looked at me. He said, "You are new, don't simply say things in the meeting." I said, "Yeah, I'm very new, but I checked my file. And I checked with my draftsman. My draftsman told me no architect drawing yet." And he said, "You sure?" He said, "You don't try to pull a fast one." He said. Then he make a phone call back to the office. Then he realized, because he project one, office he didn't know. He said, "Not enough people. They were rushing other projects. Drawing can only come out in 1 week's time." Wow, after that, he kept quiet. He said, "Okay, I checked my office already. We will try our best to give it to you. But we discussed this separately." He said, "This is a meeting. We don't want to talk about this." Oh, change already. I said, the minute, please amend it accordingly. After that, he very scared. He came and talked to me. He said, till next time I got such problem, don't bring out in the meeting. We settle outside. Oh, I said, like contractor, we settle outside. So that's how it can be turned around. And so when you understand, you don't worry. Dhamma also same. When you understand, when you have the Dhamma, you know how to live life. You don't have to worry about life. You don't have to fear life like before. Understand? Life is very simple when you understand. When you don't understand, you have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Understand? Then when your mind state is like that, the hindrance are so powerful, you cannot deal with life. Understand? That's why you cannot really act, because you don't have clarity of mind. You don't have the understanding. Wow, still got time, got 2 more minutes, so I conclude, the rest not important. If got occasion, I share some more. So, finally, I even look at the drawing, the architect drawing, then I realize there were a few things, because the client won. So, they all architect, you know, client won. They will try to agree. You know, so. Then they agree first. They didn't check ADBKL. Actually, it's against certain bylaw. Because we got the what they call uniform building bylaws. Your firefighting escape route, everything, your turning circle, a lot of things, you must comply. Then they realize what the client want after they amend the drawing. The contractor already to start work, but they haven't got DBKL approval. That's why I told him, I said, you better go and check. You have actually defaulted. Then the car park also not enough, short. Then turning circle, bus cannot turn. 5-star hotel, bus cannot turn. No. Then he looked at me, no. He said, wow, like that, how? He said, I said, what you mean, how? I said, you are the architect. I said, you go and sort it out. Well, then he tell me to help. He said, minimum turning circle unit, how much? I said, I need so much. Then he go and amend his drawing. He tried to actually push to the limit. Then he adjusted many things. Then only ngam can pass by. That's why there were many things. Then after that, he really respect our company. He said, no wonder they want our company to do all the 5-star hotel. Because we actually initially were very good. Well, this company was very big. They were actually overseas consultants. But because of recession, they retrenched until everybody go their own way. Then the company, also the partner, split. So one of the partner, together with my classmate, incorporated a local company and took over the job. That's how we end up with the job. Otherwise, not easy. And they were very lucky because I happened to have the experience and the understanding, and I was able to handle. Okay, with that, we can start. Oh, 8:30. Okay, so compose your mind, develop the faith, the sata, the virya. Then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will start the puja. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami,
Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay homage mindfully to Lord Buddha. And we will start. Okay, just relax yourself, maintain some form attention, then we can start. Yeah. So I believe everybody here before, nobody new. Anybody new to the class? Oh, there are some. Sorry, those who claim. You meditate before, the lady in red? Ah, very good. What type of meditation you are familiar with? Ah, good. That is your object of meditation. Sometimes you may call it vipassana, so no problem. For us here, you are free to maintain whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with, that you want to maintain. Because meditation needs to be understood, means you must do it with understanding. When you understand, then you will come to know one very important fact about method, technique, and meditation object. What is a method? What is a technique? What is a meditation object? Does it define the meditation? First question I want to ask. Does the method or the technique that you use to meditate define the meditation? Does it? Come, try, answer. Maybe I write on the board. We discuss about method and techniques, or meditation object, method and technique. How to spell technique? See, methods and techniques. N-I-Q-U-E. Correct. Oh, sorry. Oh, your English is very good. Mine is lousy. Q U E. Correct. This is not Nick one. Nick. Techniques. Oh, correct. Okay. Okay. Does it define the meditation? No. Why? What is a method? What is a technique? Does it define the meditation? First, you must know what is meditation, isn't it? Then only you can answer the question. Does it define the meditation? What do you think? Somebody say no. Those who are doing rising falling, what did they tell you? Synonymous to what? Vipassana, isn't it? You don't do rising falling, it's not vipassana. You heard this very often, isn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong. This is what I was told during the early days too. Yeah. So you agree or not? Huh? You agree or not? They sometimes even tell you you do anapanasati is samatha. You heard of this, isn't it? Correct or not? So I ask you a very simple question. What did the Buddha did? He used what? He started anapanasati. Four foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupasa. First category of practice, anapanasati. The technique and method that the Buddha used becomes samatha. The technique and method that the Buddha never used becomes vipassana. You go and inquire. We don't want to talk about right and wrong. Okay? It's very simple. What is anapanasati? What is rising falling? It's just a series of instructions to develop mindfulness. Understand that? Mindful of the rising and falling. Mindful of the in and out breath. Understand that? Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. Mindfulness of in and out breath. Vipassana is a very general word. Vipassana is we. Pasana. Pasana is the insight into. Insight into we. What is we? We are the characteristics of nature. Any meditation that leads to insight is vipassana. Anasana. Not the method and the technique. Anasana. The same method, the same technique, 100 people do, all do differently, I tell you. Because your understanding of that method and technique is different. Understand not? Most of you do without understanding. You follow instruction. The method and technique are a series of instructions to do things. Understand not? Series of instruction. To do the method or the technique. Understand not? Method or the technique. So how can this be the meditation? Understand? Meditation got nothing to do with technique and method, isn't it? What is meditation? As taught by the Buddha. What is a meditation? Training of the mind is the first step. But you haven't defined what is meditation. Training the mind to do what? To be heedful is correct. Heedfulness is two parts. Ever mindful and constantly meditative. So what is meditation? The essence of the Buddha's teaching is what? Four noble truths. Correct? Which of the noble truths talks about the meditation? First noble truth talks about what? Noble truth of suffering. Nothing to do with meditation, isn't it? Second noble truth? The cause of arising of suffering, also nothing to do with meditation. Third noble truth? That suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized in the here and the now. Means there is a noble truth that defines clearly how enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. Means cessation of suffering can arise before you die. Again, this is not meditation. But the fourth noble truth, talk about what? The Buddha said, there is a noble truth that explains clearly the Noble Eightfold Path. Which you do, he said, it will lead to the end of all suffering. You meditate for enlightenment in there. To end all your suffering in there. This is the meditation, understand not? So, fourth noble truth, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, is the meditation, understand not? So has the method and technique anything to do with Noble Eightfold Path? Nothing, is there. This is just to train the mind to be mindful, to be aware. Understand not? Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. It becomes apamada or heedfulness. Understand not? So apamada or heedfulness got two parts. That's why the Buddha said, before he died, he asked all the monks to strive on with heedfulness. So without heedfulness, you are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21. Remember? Spiritual life, the door is closed. So heedfulness is equal to two parts. Ever mindful. ever mindful plus constantly meditative. Means constantly cultivating what? Constantly meditative means constantly cultivating what? Noble Eightfold Path. Cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. So, Dhammapada verse 23 define what heedfulness is. The constantly meditative and the ever mindful. And if you hold on to this, the steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana. Understand? So when you know that this is what you need to develop the meditation, that's why the Buddha say, whenever you develop, you have the ability to develop this heedfulness or apamada, then you will never die. That's why he say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't train your mind to be heedful, means ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's why I say the real meditation is Noble Eightfold Path. Daily mindfulness. If you only have mindfulness, you cannot develop this. You are still not heedful. Understand? You can have all the fantastic experience of meditation in a retreat, in a form of meditation, but it still doesn't liberate your mind. Because only Noble Eightfold Path with the right view, leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right sati and samadhi, has the ability to develop the wisdom to enable you to live life. Well, all these Noble Eightfold Path factors are what you need to live life. If you don't have right view, you cannot understand life. You cannot understand the laws that governs life and existence. Can you follow that? Though without right view, there can be no right thought, right speech, right action. And to live life, you need to arise a thought, communicate. You have to arise a speech. You have to act. Then you have to live your life accordingly. So Noble Eightfold Path factor, they are all required for life. Understand? To live life. So without the right thought, right speech, right action, you are very crude. Understand? You can have all the fantastic insight, but if you don't cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you still don't have the right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of living life. You are still not a noble one. You are still very crude in the way you communicate and arise your speech. So, Noble Eightfold Path is the real meditation. So all the method and technique you use, you have to understand. They are only the initial skillful mean, to train your mind to be aware, mindful, so that you develop this heedfulness. The first aspect of heedfulness, which is mindfulness that is very stable. Then you develop what they call Kanika Samadhi, leading to Upachara Samadhi, which is continuous mindfulness. When you have continuous mindfulness, you are ever mindful. Understand? Otherwise, you only moment to moment. You are not ever mindful yet. Understand? Can follow? So with this understanding, we can start our meditation. So for those who are new, maybe I will give you some short instruction. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you can start. I will off the light. Okay. Those who already know how to meditate, you can start immediately. Those who are still new or need instruction, I will give you some brief instruction. So as I have explained, what you need is to develop the training of the mind to be mindful, to be aware, so that you can stabilize it to allow you to develop the meditation. So there are various skillful means that you can use. Like you are familiar rising and falling, or anapanasati, or even the dynamic meditation, or even chanting mantra, or recollection of the nine great virtues of the Buddha, Buddha Nusati, Dhamma Nusati, or Sangha Nusati, or even Marana Nusati, contemplation on death. You can use that to develop the meditation. But what we teach here is very simple. That's why before we start, I said there is a transcript based on one of the talk that I delivered in this Thursday class last year, 12 September 213. If you are new, you haven't got a copy, after you can collect in front here, near the cushion. You read through, you will understand. So everything that you need to know is explained there. So according to the Buddha, the reason why your mind is not peaceful is because there are mental hindrances that hinders the mind from becoming peaceful. These mental hindrances are called pancha nivaranas. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. And the Buddha said, the heedless has a lot of hindrance, otherwise you won't be heedless. You think a lot because you have a lot of sensual desire and ill will, until it becomes so habitual. Then you are so conditioned into the heedless thinking. Then together with your restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, and your doubt, your mind becomes very, very unstable. That's why heedlessness predominates. That's why they say, the heedless are as if dead, because you think a lot, you worry a lot, you have a lot of negative tendency, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. You are most of the time unhappy, not peaceful. So you come here to meditate is to decondition this heedless thinking, to develop the positive mind, the calm and wholesome mind, through a type of meditative training. And there are some skillful means that you can apply. What we use is the mind sweeping method, followed by metta. These two combine, then we develop the initial deconditioning of the heedless thinking. And our puja is to develop the five spiritual faculty to counter the hindrance. When your spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya is very stable, the hindrance will cease to be. But initially, because you have not developed that strong sati and stable sadha and virya, chances is you will have the hindrance. So what you need to do is to decondition it through the mind sweeping method. So I will give you instruction on how to do that. You silence your mind, relax body and mind, make sure your backbone is straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Then silence your mind, relax every part, body and mind, completely relax, silent. Close your eye. Maintain attention at your forehead. Then feel, don't think, just feel. If there is any tightness, any tension or any stress within, you just silently relax, relax and relax every part. Then you move on to your eye muscle, do the same, feel. Any tension, any stress or any tightness within, you relax them all. Then you move to your facial muscle, do the same. Feel and relax each and every strand of your facial muscle. Then if you find that you still not really relax, then you can use metta to help you. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, when you can radiate that radiant smile, you have a lot of joy. When you have a lot of joy, you naturally relax because there is no more tension, no more stress. Then after that, you can recite following the words I use to develop the inner well-being, the metta. The mind-sweeping metta can bring about inner peace very quickly. Then with this metta, it brings about inner well-being. So the initial byproduct of training this mind is you can develop inner peace leading to inner well-being, and it will help your immune system, everything, to go up, and it can help you to recharge your mind so that the heedless thinking is no more. You can read it as follow. You recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. Then after that you continue, may this body and mind of mine to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all beings, to all your loved ones. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, all your loved ones, including all Kayanamitas who are here, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may all beings within the entire of Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, the world, then our solar system, our galaxy, and the whole universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be free from all enmity, free from all ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then may they be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you bring your mind back to your facial muscle, relax every part, silence your mind, and feel the inner peace and the inner well-being. Then move this mind sweeping method down to your neck, shoulder, feel, relax every part, hand back to shoulder, feel and relax. Then feel your heart area, your chest. This is the most important part within your anatomy. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the life force arises and passes away. This is how you can develop the understanding to your nature. So you silence your mind and feel your heart. If you can detect any heartbeat or any vibration, then you just silence your mind and just stay with it. If you are new and if you have not developed the ability to be mindful, you just feel and relax, like you feel your forehead and relax. You feel your chest area and relax every part. Then you sweep it out to your stomach, feel, relax. Then go to your abdomen. When you are at your abdomen, you also feel and relax. Those who do rising, falling, you don't go and look for the rising, falling. You just silence your mind and just feel around the abdomen area. Just feel. Then allow the mindfulness to detect that phenomena on its own. Don't go and look for it. The phenomena will come to your mindfulness. You just silence and aware. Don't do anything. Then you will detect. Just like anapanasati. In and out breath. You just silent and aware in front of your nostril. Then breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. The meaning is, the mind and the breathing move as one, in harmony, in perfect synchrony, no thought. So likewise, when the mindfulness detect the rising and falling, the mind, the awareness and the phenomena is one, without any thought. They are not two separate entities. During that time, the real sati will come, and you will understand what sati is. Then you need to stabilize it. Just silent and allow it to be. If you are still not able to understand, then never mind. You do your own way. Then later on, you go back, you reflect, and you try. You try the new way. See what is the difference. Then for those who don't do rising falling, you can skip that. You can just move on to feel your buttock, relax, feel your leg, relax. Then you reverse the whole cycle from the leg to your buttock, relax every part. abdomen feel relax, stomach feel relax, heart feel relax, then back to shoulder, hand back to shoulder, feel relax, don't think. Neck do the same, facial muscle do the same, feel relax, then eye muscle, forehead. By now you should have certain level of calmness, certain level of quietness, tranquility. Then you can just silence your mind and develop this training of the mind to be very mindful, so that this mindfulness can stabilize. And because of this mind sweeping method, you just feel and relax, you don't think. The heedless thinking, the hindrance will all slowly disappear. Then when you do this training, the advantage is you can develop the ability to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it's at the forehead. You want it to be at the abdomen, it's at the abdomen. Wherever you place your mind, you can silence and just be aware. That is the meditative mind. So now to train and stabilize this mindfulness, you need to anchor it to an object of meditation. And the most suitable neutral object is anapanasati, because it is a very neutral object that is suitable for most people. So what you do is, like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing in front of your nostril, just silent. Then allow the mindfulness to detect this in and out breath. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Means the in-breath and the mind move as one without thought. Then breathing out, the mind is aware. Then when you can develop it, it will actually stabilize and develop all the piti and the sukha and the pasati, leading to a very quiet, peaceful and tranquil mind. But if you are new, anapanasati, you need to train. So every time the mind, because it's heedless with the hindrance, you will wander off. It's okay, because you are training the mind to be aware. So you bring it back to the object of meditation. It's only when you are training in anapanasati you do that. Otherwise, you don't have to bring it back to the object of meditation. You just have to maintain silence and maintain awareness or sati. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So initially, when you train in anapanasati, you have to bring the attention or awareness back to the breathing, so that this breathing and the mindfulness move as one, so that your mind is anchored there. Develop the ability to be with it, to develop the stability of awareness or sati. Okay, I will let you train your mind for maybe another 10 or 15 minutes. Then after that, I will ring the bell. So for those who already know how to meditate, you just silence your mind and just allow that silent mind to develop its own understanding of how you function as a human being. Because physically you have the sense basis, then your consciousness trapped inside. Whatever that arises upon contact, your consciousness will be triggered off. Then that nature, the awareness, the silent mind will be able to detect all this, and you will be able to understand what is going on, how your mind stir and how it reacts to sense experience, how sankhara come to be, how feeling come to be, how all the perception through memory, and how consciousness come to be. Then you will witness all of the Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. The five hindrances, the five spiritual faculty, the three evil roots of form and mind, the four noble truths, the dependent origination, dwelling, everything, you will come to witness them. So now I will allow you to meditate. So I will off the mic, then I will ring the bell in maybe 10 minutes time. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have already developed for as long as you can. The most important part of the form of meditation is to develop the training of the mind to be aware. Then after that, stabilize it. Then use it to live your daily life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, leading to the heedfulness. This is what you must do. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment, definitely. Because in the early days, I cultivate the same. I remember the year 1986. I was throughout the day mindful, ever mindful. Then I developed this understanding, which is actually the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, mainly the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. So the three turning covers everything. Then for almost 3 years, I was in that state of cultivation. I was in the midst of working, career, having a family, having children, and all these are not a problem. For meditation can be done in the midst of life, anywhere, any place, any time, irregardless of what posture you are in. So when you understand the domains of meditation, you will know how to meditate. When you have clear comprehension of the sincerity of purpose, you will actually develop it very well. Domain of meditation is very important. Then of course the other one is the clear comprehension of the most important time, the most important place, and the most important people. Suitability. Clear comprehension of non-delusion is the last one. This is to prevent you from deludedly get entangled with the wrong meditation. The defilement of insight are very powerful. They can lead you astray. They can lead you into the wrong path. So meditation need to be done with understanding, with clarity, with right view. The moment you did it correctly, you will start to develop the understanding on your own. Sati, leading to samadhi, will allow you to see things as they are with clarity. That's why when you have sati stabilized, accumulate in the samadhi. Samadhi is the unwavering mind, which is unified and collected, because it doesn't waver anymore. At the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, or think, the mind is already collected, unified, and unwavering. That's why it has clarity. It will not be disturbed. It will not be conditioned into wrong view. Thought will not interfere, because that samadhi has that ability to be collected and unwavering. Then sati, the silent mind, will allow you to insight into phenomena, all of the characteristics of nature, all of phenomena's characteristics of impermanent, leading to the suffering state and the empty nature or non-self nature. You will see them clearly. You will come to understand them clearly. Then you will come to realize truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? The one who sees, they always see. When you lack mindfulness and heedfulness, you cannot see. Okay, now we will open it up for Q&A. Meditation reporting and question and answer session. You can ask me anything that you want to understand regarding the meditation or the Buddha Dharma, the teaching, or how you can actually relate what you have learned here and the teaching to help you understand life, to live your life so that you don't have to suffer anymore, so that you know how to apply what you have learned here and the Dhamma that you have studied or cultivated. Okay. Now I open it up to the floor. Anybody who wants to report their meditation? The mic is here. make full use of the condition. Anybody? Yes, Brother Tay. Sadhu.
Brother Tiong.
Yes.
The in this meditation practice,
yeah.
I find that the up to a certain point, you feel the pressure on the heart.
Okay.
And as if you are short of breath.
Okay.
It's just very uncomfortable.
Know,
something pressing on it.
I know.
At the heart region.
Okay. Can you describe to me how you do it, your meditation just now? How you develop it? How you start? Then how you finally come to that state where you have that feeling. Is it this sitting?
Yes, yes. Okay. This sitting and other sittings as well.
You describe. You just describe exactly the way you do it.
Yeah. I just try to relax the mind being conscious of the various tense muscle.
Okay.
Just relax it.
Okay.
And as it goes down to the body, I keep on feeling the metta. Just, very joyful.
Are you able to feel the state of relax?
No, not really.
Not really.
Not really.
When you feel your forehead, do you feel any tension or any tightness or any stress within?
There was.
Definitely. Why you have this type of problem. Because when the body is not really relaxed, this stress will develop. And this stress has been with you for quite long because, like I explained to you at your retreat, Cameron Highland, because early on you are so used to using this rational thinking mind, the mundane mind, that this is the only instrument you are familiar with. So you use that a lot until you overuse it. Then even in meditation, you also use it. So all of your attention is centered on the brain. So brain, because it is the memory. So thought is respond to memory. So this thought and your conditioning, whether it's your Dhamma knowledge conditioning, or your religious belief, or your tradition, means as a Chinese, all of their upbringing type of conditioning, they are all inside. So because of that, when you have this as conditioning, then it will trigger off certain type of thought. Then because you have not developed the stability of the spiritual faculty, your sati is not stable. That's why you will be most of the time here. And you must know, wherever you put your mind, understand not? The attention, if you put it at the forehead, this will think a lot. It will not stop. But your trouble is, when you want to switch it down to your heart, that's why I say when you move it further away, because it's away from the brain, that consciousness is not here, then it will build up energy here. Because you also use thought. You try to be at the heart. You also like, every time you, to you it's like aware there, but actually you are nothing. Then you are not relaxed, because you are not used to this way of living, or this way of training your mind. To be aware is silently relax, just relax, and allow the awareness to be there. Don't focus, don't concentrate. Allow the awareness to detect. That's why I say silent, let it detect. If you detect heartbeat or vibration, then stay there. Stay there is not to focus there. Just stay. Be with it until that sati and that thing move as one. And then you will build up. And that one very relaxed one. That one no tension one. But if you try to stay there, you force it there, like one pointedness, initial application of thought, then you sustain the thought there. It become jhana factor. Vitaka vichara. Then this one build up energy. That's why you feel pain. You feel tightness. Then you try to relax. But the thought try to relax, you cannot relax. So don't worry. These are very normal for most people who are so used to thought-based meditation. Because you use the thought very often. So that's why I say you have to decondition this heedless thinking. You learn how to feel and just relax. Don't think. When you meditate, don't try to know anything. That's not. Forget about all the Dhamma. Whatever. Like a baby, a child. Start with a clean slate. Assume you don't understand anything. Then I want to learn. I want to find out. Through what? Through silent my mind. Then whatever that arises through that silent mind, I can observe. As observing how your mind stirs, observing how your emotion arise, how the unarisen hindrance come to be, then how they later cease to be, that is vipassana. That is meditation. Asana. Not using your thought and dhamma to go and associate with what you see. Oh, this is sati. This is suffering. This is impermanent. This is non-self. This is anatta. When you use your knowledge, which is your conditioning, and you try to relate it to what you see, your thought is very active. Because the thought is doing that. I give you one example, you understand. If you want to understand somebody, even it can be your own brother, sister, or children, or your own parent, or your good friend, what you must do is you must silently observe that person. Especially the kid. If you silent your mind and just observe, then you will understand the kid very well. You will see how he constantly do certain things out of his own habit and conditioning, or out of what he inherit from his past, or whether he is the type that doesn't like to actively move around and do all those things. Some kids are very quiet. Some are very active. Then some, they got certain type of character inside them. So if you don't have a view or an opinion about the boy, or prejudice against the boy or the kid, you will be able to understand him very, very clearly. But if you already have an opinion of him, that this boy, very inobedient one. Every time I tell him to do this, he don't want to. Means what? You have a view and an opinion. And you observe this child from that view and opinion, you will get angry very fast. You will get very unhappy with him very fast. But this is what you think he is. Understand? Even after he changed, you can never observe. Because you don't have the silent mind and the patience to observe what he do. Then when you observe without reacting, without commenting, without judging him, without having a view or opinion of him, then you see things as they are. You see him for what he is. Anasara. Meditation is the same. When you silence your mind and don't try to know anything and just allow the phenomena to tell you the story, then you will understand everything very clearly the way it is. Not through a conditioning, not through the Dhamma that you have. And I said, don't try to go and note. Oh, I am doing vipassana. Who is saying that? The thought is saying that. And who is doing? The thought is doing. I have to note this, I have to note that. When you are actively verbalizing inside there, how can you have sati? And I said, you remember in the Klang talk? I told you to go and listen to the 20th of June recent talk. You listen to it again. I started off by defining very clearly to you what is sati. What is sati? We start again. What is mindfulness? What is sati? Awareness. Some more? Sati is? Very good. Awareness before the knowing. Awareness before the knowing. So this definition is very important. How many of you are science students? One or two only. Cannot be. I know there are a lot of other technical guys. When we study physics and chemistry, if you want to understand chemistry and physics, especially physics, you have to understand the definition in that. Correct or not? Like velocity, what is velocity? What is acceleration? Rate of change of velocity. Then when you understand the terminology, Then only you can understand the teaching. Understand? Then only you can apply. Yeah. Likewise, spiritual is the same. Sati is awareness. Okay? So awareness is a very, very commonly misunderstood word. Understand? Because when you just say awareness, it doesn't define anything. Different people interpret it differently. To me, awareness can be a knowing. Understand? Because somebody always asks this question, even in the Satipatthana workshop. He said, who is aware? Who is aware? Means what? Means aware must have a person, no? Understand? Means awareness is interpreted as a knowing, no? Means who is doing this awareness? To them, aware, to be aware is to know. Understand? But the real definition is before this word. Before the knowing. What is knowing? How do you know something? How do you know this whiteboard? How do you know this writing? How do you know my voice and speech? Through what? Perception. Your aggregate of mind must arise. Understand not? That's why when the aggregate of mind arise, these are not your true mind. Understand? This is your mundane mind, thinking mind, conditionalizing mind. Understand? Well, when you try to perceive, either through your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness, then the word, the concept, and the label come out. Understand? That's how you come to know whiteboard. Well, the word come out first. Understand? Then you never see. Understand? Well, you thought you already see because the word tell you whiteboard. So whiteboard, microphone, microphone, but you never see. Understand? That's why sati is the direct seeing. You remember this word? Direct seeing. Direct seeing. What is direct seeing? Jnana dasana. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Means you see things as they are. Understand? Not through a view or opinion or a conditioned mind. Understand? How to see this? The direct seeing, jnana dasana, means direct knowledge and vision of the reality, means not through a conditioned mind that tell you what this thing is, understand? Through observing in silence and through seeing things as they are. And that reality, no word one, understand? No concept one. You just see, exactly like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. It's just the consciousness come to be. Understand? Means the pure perception before the words, before the labeling. That's why you see things as they are. Then there is no duality. There is no he, you, what. Everything doesn't arise yet. But the moment you perceive the knowing come to be, and you are so conditioned with your views and opinion, the thing that you know, you labor, then you react through your conditioning. Understand? So that's why sati is awareness before the knowing. So how do you develop sati in the meditation? You have to silence your mind and don't try to know. Understand? The moment you perceive or think is already a knowing. The moment that silent mind come out and try to meditate to become the meditator, you are already no more in sati. Understand? That's why Krishnamurti say a very, very shocking statement. You know, when he deliver the talk and the speech, people ask him the question, eh? Who is the one meditating? You try to answer. Who is the one meditating? Huh? You say you meditate. Who is the one meditating? Some people already know the thought. And what is that thought? Is that thought you? That's why Krishnamurti says, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. You can understand? Huh? Wherever there is the meditator, there is no meditation. Where the meditator is the thought. And what is thought? Thought is no longer sati. Thought is knowing. Understand? Huh? The moment you have thought, you already labor, verbalize the concept, come out already. As well. The mind is no longer silent to see things as they are. That's why sati is awareness before the knowing, so that you can have the direct seeing, so that you can insight into phenomena. If you are not silent, you cannot insight, because the Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond mind. So if you are actively using thought, you cannot realize the state that is beyond thought and beyond mind. But the Dhamma is akaliko, understand? Timeless. What is timeless? No psychological time. And what is psychological time? When the thought arises, psychological time comes to be. Understand not? Understand not? So that's why thought is time. Understand not? When you arise a thought, life, time arise. When you don't arise any thought, the enlightened one, timeless, akaliko. Understand not? Where it doesn't think. Timeless doesn't mean no physical time. Physical time is there, but no psychological time. That's all. No thinking means no psychological time. That's all. You are like in stillness, silent. But it's not a conditioned state. Can follow that? Yeah? So what you need to understand is, when you meditate, you just silent. Relax, aware. Don't try to know. Then when you go to the heart, you just bring the attention there. Just feel. Don't try to locate anything. Just feel silent. You know this clock, how loud it was. When you really silent your mind, it was so loud, you know, like the whole room, you can hear it ticking. You know. I don't know how many of you heard this. When you meditate that time, this was so loud, you know, the clock. When you are silent, now you can hear. Very loud. Even the fan, the vibration, the aircon, everything is very loud. Because when you just silent, the general spacious awareness, your senses are very sharp. Understand not? Understand not? Last time, did you all play this style of game or not? It's like in the school, I remember. You got this field, the field, like, let's say football field, or maybe badminton court. Badminton court not big enough, I think. Basketball court. You got this line in it. Understand not? Then there's a center line. Then there's a person guarding everywhere. Understand not? Then you're supposed to run across. Understand not? Then this guy supposed to be very attentive. How do you become very good? You just silent. Because I will close my eye and I will maintain attention. Then I will see any movement, I will go there already. Understand not? That's why I can tap them very fast. I can kill them very fast. But I can also go through very fast. I always go through with one leg. Understand? I will stand here, then I move. I got one leg here, then I body out, I go. Understand? That's why he cannot catch me. Understand? That's why all this is understanding. But when you maintain attention, you have to be very alert. Understand? Then you don't think. Understand? The moment you think, that guy is gone. Understand? Pass by. So this is some form of attentiveness. It's very near to sati. But it's not real sati yet. Understand not? The moment you are silent without thought, you are very attentive. When you are very attentive, there is the beginning of sati. Understand not? Understand not? Attention is what? When I pay attention means I'm not distracted, I'm not thinking. I pay attention to what the teacher teach, and I just listen. I don't go and comment. What happened if you comment? I think the teacher teach wrongly. What happened? The moment you think like that, you're not listening already. Correct not? You experience that, isn't it? Then sometimes in the classroom, the lecture note, you scared you miss the lecture note. When you are busy writing, you don't listen already. That's how. That's why I learned later on, through the study. I learned not to write and listen. When I listen, I listen. After I listen, I write. Because I understand, I write very fast. That's how. I may miss something. But when the teacher is rubbing the blackboard, that is the time you write. Understand? Then if he continue to write, if it's in the textbook one, I don't want to copy also. Yeah, I go back, I can read. Understand? Understand? So even when I share the Dhamma, you just listen attentively. You don't worry you miss anything. Understand? You don't even try to, if you can, don't try to write any notes. If you are good, you can. Understand? Otherwise, there is a recording. you can go back and listen to it again. Because now you got disadvantage. So you pay attention while you are here. Then you will understand much better. Then you go back, listen, reflect, contemplate. It will stabilize. Then you will be able to develop the understanding. Then when you understand and you develop the cultivation, means you cultivate with understanding, you progress very fast. Okay? Yeah. So coming back to Brother Tay's question, I think I have answered. Yeah? The tension and the tightness come about because your conditioning from the past, yeah, is still there. So then you try to like direct your mind to your heart, and you try to fix it there. Means you have the applied thought and the sustained thought. Your thought is holding it there. The real sati you don't hold on. You just relax and silence everything and just aware. Aware means you maintain attention there. Then you let the awareness detect. Even rising, falling. Don't go and look for the rising and falling. Don't go and note. This is what they tell you, rising, falling. Then all the what, the tension, the tightness, or whatever they describe in the interview, you go and look for it. You sure cannot meditate. Where the thought is actively through an idea and opinion looking for that Dhamma, understand? That is knowledge. That is not the silent mind. That one cannot understand. That's why when you silent, sati is totally different. Sati is just silent awareness before knowing. Means what? The moment you are without thought, you are already in sati. You don't try to be mindful. Understand? You don't have to try to be aware. Understand? Something that is already in you, you need to try to learn how to use it or not. Like the fish. Do they need to learn how to swim? The fish already naturally, instinctively know how to swim in there. Your true mind, which is already in sati, aware, you already have that, understand? But because you don't understand, you are too heedless. You think a lot. That's why you forgot that there is this nature there. And you overlook the true mind by grasping onto this thinking mind, this mundane mind. And you think all this is what you are. That's why you become heedless. You are lost in. The moment thought ceases or you silent, then only you can detect this nature. Then only you know what the essence of mind is, what that silence is. That's why you need to decondition your heedless thinking and be more and more heedful and aware. The moment you are more aware means what? You can either think, you can either be with the moment in awareness or you are lost in thought. Correct or not? Correct or not? The moment you are lost in thought, you cannot be aware. You can only do one thing at a time. That is what your mind is all about. So when you are lost in thought means what? Preoccupied with your thinking, with the words, with the labor, with the conditioning. Then you are too busy proliferating your thought, developing all the thinking, then reaction, the wrong view to judge, to comment. And when you are doing this, your mind can never have the clarity to see things as they are. Understand? But when you are preoccupied with the thinking and the emotion and the reaction, you cannot be aware anymore. Can follow that? Can you follow that? Like when you are worrying. People call you also, sometimes you don't hear one. Well, you are lost in thought. Preoccupied with that fear, that worry, that anxiety, that so-called problem. Awareness is, you don't have any problem. Well, there is no thought. Nothing to hold on to. Nothing to think. Nothing to worry about. You're just silent. That's why there is clarity. You can see things very clearly. That any movement, any attention, you aware. Understand? It's a general awareness. Understand? So meditation is the same. The moment you are silent, your true nature, your essence of mind can develop the understanding on its own. That one no need teacher. Yeah. All the Dhamma, without words you will understand. Yeah. But of course, if you have already been shown or explained or told about this teaching, then it's like R&D. No need to waste time doing R&D. Understand? means you just put to test. Understand? No? Put to test is so much easier. The prototype there, I just test drive it, then I improve on it, it's so much easier. Correct? No? But before that prototype is out, you go and do R&D to come out with the prototype is so difficult. Understand? No? So Dhamma is the same. If it's already there, if the Buddha has proclaimed it, that's why when the sasana is around, it's so easy. So you only have to investigate. Understand? Put to test. If it stand up to investigation, use it. Then you know this is the truth. This is the law that governs life and existence. This is the spiritual law. Law of karma, law of the mind. They function this way. And then from there, you will understand him clearly. You will understand life clearly. You will come to understand why that Noble Eightfold Power lead to the end of all suffering. And all this, you can understand very easily. What you need is just sati leading to heedfulness, apamada. So here, the training of the mind to be aware is very important. To decondition the heedless thinking so that you develop a new way of living, understand? So that you live life with more and more awareness, more and more moment of sati, understand? Because as sati build up, you become less and less heedless. Why? Because sati is awareness only, no thinking on before the knowing. Understand not? When your sati develop, become more and more, means you think less and less, understand not? Then until finally when you are very heedful, you hardly think. Most of the time you are without thought. You are just silent and aware. Yeah. And that is the true meditation. In daily life, you can be throughout the day aware, silent. Most of the time without thought. Or little or no thought. That is the true cultivator. Yeah. And not long, he should awaken. Yeah. Like the Buddha said, four foundation of mindfulness. Fastest is what? 7 days. Yeah? 7 days there. Correct? No? Longest? 7 years. Not too long. Yeah. Very long. I did it in 3 years though. It took me so long. 86 to 89, I was in that state. Non-stop. Heedfulness. Ever mindful. Cultivating non-stop. Initially, it's during my waking moment. Later on, I can go into my resting or sleeping. You call sleeping. I call resting. Yeah. Moments. Yeah. Throughout the day, 24 hours, the sati can be there. Awareness. When I rest, you call sleep. I can even hear my own snoring. Then when I wake up, that same thought come out, like I didn't sleep. It connect on. It's just like in a daily life, that moment-to-moment awareness continue. It continue out. Then my face very fresh on. No need to wash face on. Like I never sleep. Like I just go and rest. Yeah. And meditation can be like that on. Because you never did it before. You have never come across such a type of meditation. But book also never, right? So you will feel like, God like that one. Like it's, what? Fairy tale. Correct? Sometimes I used to tell them, worse than fairy tale. More, what they call, more shocking than fairy tale. Because a lot of things that happen during cultivation, I tell you, the normal Puttajana or living being cannot understand. Because it is really like that one. For the one who knows, who understands, who has developed the cultivation, they will know it is the almost the opposite of what the living being think. That's why the Buddha said delusion means what? You take the world to be what? Tian Tao, inverted view, means what? The world that is full of impermanent, you think is permanent. Correct not? The world that is full of suffering, you think is a lot of joy and happiness. You think you can enjoy life, you can have the good life. So, your thought proliferate and spur you towards what? You determine to make a lot of money. You think with money, you can become very happy. But as you work and slot, you become miserable as well. Then when even you make it, when you have the money, you realize you are still not happy. Because, like the Buddha said, mundane happiness, or what they call the mundane success, does not guarantee happiness and freedom. Understand? But the first noble truth is very clear. When you confront this first noble truth reality, nobody is above them except those who have wisdom, can transcend them, not affected by them. But each and every one of us, no matter who you are, you can be very wealthy, very noble, or even very successful. Means you got a lot of title. You are the prime minister, or you are the minister, or you are very big shot, understand not, with a lot of money. But when it comes to old age, sickness and death, we are in the same boat. So maybe you got more money, can sustain you longer in the hospital, good specialist center. Maybe you can pay, afford all the good specialists and doctor. You can fly here and fly there. But ultimately, you still experience the same reality, old age, sickness and death. Understand not? That you don't have wisdom, you suffer more than the ordinary people. The ordinary people who is very contented and happy, they are more healthy and better they work. Then they build up their, what they call, health through their daily, what they call, activity. They sweat. Then they didn't eat too healthy a food. Understand? And the Chinese got this saying in Cantonese, Choi to. San Ji Yong, right now, too much wealth, the health become very weak. Is it? In a certain way, it's true. Né? You got too much money, you simply spend on what? You say luxurious food, understand? But actually, all those food are not healthy food, understand? Of course, you think you can afford those ginseng and all those things. Maybe it helps, understand? But after you take ginseng, you go for all those high cholesterol and all those food. That's all. And most of the time, you eat because of your craving, your desire. You don't eat because there is a need to eat, that's all, to sustain your health, to bring about a better body. So a lot of things in life, you need understanding. Then even despite your wealth, your authority, power, if you don't have good family life, if you don't have good relationship with people, you still attached to your wealth, to your loved ones, to all those things that you hold on to dearly, your career, your title, your position in society, I tell you, you can be miserable despite all those success. That's why material success doesn't guarantee happiness, and happiness is very difficult to come by if you don't have spiritual understanding and wisdom. So to be really, really a successful person and a happy person, you need to have both mundane and spiritual understanding. Means the mundane success that normally people look forward to, what are they? What are they as a normal human being? You pursue what? Mundane success. When you're young, you want to have a good family, who can afford your education and look after your life or something. But not everybody can have that, correct or not? Only some. If you got good karma, of course you can have. Otherwise, where you are born depends on your karma. You don't have a choice. Then what happens after that? You have to go through education. So the first mundane success you look forward to is what? Academic success, correct or not? Then after that, you come out to work. You look for career success. With career, you want financial freedom. Understand not? Then after you have that, you want a nice car, a nice house, beautiful wife, or handsome husband. Understand not? Then you want to have perfect family relationship. But this is the world. Understand not? Without wisdom, nothing is perfect. Understand not? Everything that you gain, even if you can have this so-called material success, you're still miserable, afflicted, suffer, unhappy, despite all the wealth. Understand? Sometimes when you got too much wealth, it becomes a problem. you worry about your children fighting over your inheritance and all things. Yeah. Then worry about people kidnap you, cheat you, deceive you. So life is not what you think, not so simple. Let's say you can have academic success, career success, you did very well, okay? You are one of the few blessed ones. Then financially you do very well, you got financial freedom, you retire early. Then the fourth one is what? A very beautiful and understanding family unit. And that is difficult to come by as well. Despite your wealth, you may not have that as well. And usually people, after they have the wealth, the harmony within the family is gone, you know, except very rare occasion. Your wealth can bring along a lot of other things. They say, the men especially, sorry for saying that, when they are too rich, the wife also worried. When they got no money, they also worried. But when they had too much money, the wife also worried. Because they tend to get carried away by what they have, and sometimes deluded. So, family, happiness and harmony, good, what they call relationship between your loved one and yourself, these are something that money alone cannot buy. Then, to be healthy, to enable this body and mind to continue to live the good life after you get old, it's not easy, but this body go the way of nature, understand? So with money, sometimes you cannot buy health, understand? Health is not easy to come by, but this physical body is very fragile, you know, like a glass, drop, gone already. So this body also, very fragile one. Overnight heart attack, next day no more. Or stroke, gone. And you have seen many of this. So health is something you cannot take for granted. But you cannot also deludedly attach, thinking that this body is you, and you want to live longer. You don't want to have disease, sickness. You don't want to face death. You don't want to confront that reality. Because you don't know who you are, what you are. You don't have the spiritual understanding. So that's why there is fear before you die. There is suffering when you get sick. And you go through old age. And all the senses start to fail you. All the first noble truth, reality start to hit you. So mundane success alone, without the spiritual understanding and the wisdom, doesn't guarantee you happiness. Understand? The good life. So you need to work on the other aspect, which is the spiritual understanding. There's a lot of people, they only come into contact with the spiritual world, most people, is it, after they get old, after they confront life and now, and they know a lot of problems. So they start to seek an answer to this. So just now before we came, I think I shared this, there was one Dhamma friend who came with me. So we were having dinner. Then he said he got a son, overseas, came back. Of course the son very obedient. Then also, I think they have good relationship. But there is still something like a little bit of gap in that, generation gap. Young boy, just graduate not long, quite successful in life, like the mother say. A lot of agent waiting to recommend their daughter to the son, is in a foreign country, very difficult to have such a good, what they call, condition type of son-in-law. Then he came back for holiday, as usual, very busy, so he was at home with the mandir. So the mandir, we are old already like us, cultivate Dhamma. So what he do? She on the chanting tape. Then the son get irritated. Mummy, what is all this chanting? Ayo, noisy lah, I said. Then the mother answered him differently. Now you complain noisy. Last time you got problem, you come, mummy, you go temple, pray for me. That's all. Next time you got problem, you come, I will not pray for you. I say, you talk to him like that. not much positive result. Understand or not? You should talk to him differently. Yeah. When he come to you, because he doesn't like all this chanting. He say, ah, oh boy, come, come. I think this is the right time to talk to you. You think mommy like to on chanting tape? Because mommy now, 60 plus already, gone through life, experienced all these problems. That's why I now got to go spiritual. Otherwise, I suffer, no? You're now very young. You can enjoy life. But later on, when you reach my age, you don't understand it. Maybe you become more superstitious than me. You do more chanting than me. That's all. Then only he start to listen to you. God, man. Because you don't experience old age sickness and death. This reality you don't know. That's why now I got this golden opportunity, which was a blessing in this guy. I understand that I need not suffer. I can become very happy despite confronting all this. That's why I need to study the spiritual understanding, which is the Dhamma. That's why I listen to chanting. Yeah? I listen to Dhamma. Then I do my routine. To you, this is like not relevant. But remember, when you got problem, come and see mommy. Yeah. But don't wait too long. Your mommy may not be around. Then that time too late. Then maybe you right behind. You say, if Brother Teo still around, you go and see him. Otherwise, you won't learn. So after I told her, I say, oh yeah, I think this is a better approach. This is better. So, Dhamma, if you understand, you really, really can share, understand not? And you don't have that wrong view or perception. My son, don't want to listen while you talk to him, also no use. They like handphone, they like all this stuff. Yeah, because they are young, their generation is like that, understand not? But they are also living being like you and I. They will go through life. They will confront the First Noble Truth reality. Sooner or later, they have to seek an answer to the First Noble Truth reality. And if they don't have the condition to be exposed to the Dhamma early, chances are they will suffer and become miserable, afflicted, when they confront them. So the best time to talk to them is when they have crisis, understand? And let them go through life. Don't worry for them. Don't pamper them too much. Understand? Make mistake better. Understand? They end up relationship problem, career problem better. Then they come to you. Then you become their what? Spiritual teacher. You counsel them. Last time mommy go through worse than you. Don't worry. Come, sit down. Then you try to teach them. Understand? Through an understanding, not through knowledge. Knowledge doesn't work. Yeah, because this kid nowadays also very smart. They go internet and check first, then they come up with their own solution first. A lot of kids nowadays, they go and check internet. Anything they want to know, they go Google. They don't go and type papa mama. They Google. So once they understand that there is another understanding that is beyond what you can find in the computer or in the search engine, then they will remember you. They will contact you. And this is how you can help them. You don't be too eager to convert them, no, or get them to study the Dhamma. No. If you do that, you will suffer, I tell you, because they got no time for all this. But you leave behind good, important messages. When you go through life, somehow, if you got any of this serious problem, remember what mom tell you. The Dhamma can give you the answer. Spiritual understanding can give you the answer. Then just tell her or him. If you need answer, you call mommy. But don't wait too long. Mommy may not live that long. Then it will raise the urgency. Then you want to be with mommy more often, you better make full use of this period. Otherwise, after that, I'm too old to even entertain you or follow you overseas. Then it will give them the sense of urgency, to come back and see you, respect you, have gratitude over what you have done for them. Then they will learn a lot of things from you. Because if you are very understanding, you have the Dhamma, they will actually respect you. They will know my parents is different. They never force me to do anything. They allow me to decide my life. And that's how they only there to advise me. And they had sacrificed so much for me. They are always there for me. Then they will have this love and respect for you. And they will be very close to you. Then whatever problem they will discuss with you. Instead of go and look for friends or consult other people. Okay, anybody else got any more thing to report? Or any question? Brother, you finish, huh? Okay, good. No problem. Anybody else? We still got a bit of time. Another 25 minutes. The lady in red, she's smiling. They behind you. You smiling, Push it out, Just push the mic out. Don't be shy, Just report exactly or ask anything that you want to find out. Don't worry about your question.
During my meditation, I have a very sharp pain.
Where? Times. Which part? Which part?
On my body.
Yeah, which part?
On my hand.
Left or right?
Left hand.
Okay. How did it arise? After how long?
For maybe about 10 minutes.
How you put your hand?
Put it this way.
You show me. Put the mic down and show me. Where you rest your hand? Oh, no wonder. You are resting. You see this point, This point, your wrist here. You let it hang like that. This is the one that blocked your flow of blood and chi. That's why initially it can be numb first. Then after that, pain. Sharp pain. And you are not relaxed. So the best thing is either hold it like that or one palm over another palm. Or in whatever posture that you are relaxed, but don't allow it to hang, understand not? This hand, if you don't believe me, you put like that. I tell you, after a few minutes, less than 10 minutes, you will have problem. I tell you.
Ratio, you are perfect. I had an operation.
Oh, so okay. No wonder. No wonder. Then your posture, you don't put like that. Understand not? You rest it like that. Understand not?
Okay.
Then you will overcome it. Then even with the pain, if it's a physical situation, you don't try to be a hero, don't endure, understand? But if it's not a physical situation, if the pain develops after about 40 minutes or half an hour, then it's different. Then I can teach you how to overcome pain, because meditator always trap in pain, understand? Numbness, later on itchiness. Then the worst is restlessness. Because all the hindrance is there. That's not. So like, it's so difficult to meditate. But for those who know, meditation is a bliss. Meditation is a time to recuperate. That's not. To recover from the tired day. It's like your body resting. So beautiful, so peaceful, so silent, so still. So wonderful. But how come to you meditation is a torture here? I always tell those people, you come here to meditate, to train your mind to be relaxed, to be aware, to develop what? Inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then after that, you develop the clarity of mind, the silent mind, the peaceful mind, the happy mind. Then you use it to cultivate wisdom, to see things as they are, to develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and then what is for my mind. You are not here to torture yourself, to make yourself miserable. You know what is torture yourself? You sit until pain also, you dare not move. Why you dare not move? Because you were told, very rude to move. Cannot make noise in a retreat. So what you do? You yawn, waiting for the bell. Oh, saved by the bell. Ting. Oh, shrub. Oh, relief. That is not meditation. You might as well go home and make a cup of coffee in front of the TV. More relaxed. Why you come here and torture yourself? But when you have to train, it's different. Means you know what you are doing. initially because I am not used to sitting, I need to train. So initially I don't know how to relax. That's why there is pain. There is all this problem. And I have heedlessness because the hindrance are there. So if I have the understanding based on what the Buddha said, I put it to test. I don't have to fight the hindrance, like the Buddha said. I only need to develop the spiritual faculty. Then I check. How can I develop the spiritual faculty? Practice puja. The Buddha also recommend puja. So I develop the faith. Through knowing who the Buddha is, how wonderful the Buddha is, how wise and how virtuous he is, then his teaching is so wonderful. He can bring about enlightenment, liberation of the mind from all suffering. And I can live the noble life, the happy life, the peaceful life that is free of all suffering. And this is what I want. So when you know that the Buddha can deliver such great things, you will have a lot of faith in him, confidence in him, gratitude in him. Then you develop the virya, the spiritual zeal to go this way. From the faith, you become motivated. Because after knowing who the Buddha is, how great he is, how wonderful his teaching is, you determine to walk this way. That's why the virya will come. Then virya will drive you to cultivate sati. When you bow, you cultivate sati. When you sit to train your mind, you cultivate sati. When you go through life, you develop the four foundations of mindfulness, you cultivate sati. When you do anavana sati, you cultivate sati. That's why everything can be developed through understanding. Yeah. So when sati is developed, you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then when you have sati and samadhi, you think very little. But the moment you are aware, there is no thought. When it's stabilized until samadhi is collected, unwavering, unified. So most of the time, it's just aware, without thought. That's why from heedless living, it becomes heedful living. But you cannot maintain that type of training. You only maintain it in a retreat for a while, a few days to a week, or maybe a month or two. But you become boring after that. You want to come back to society. When you come back to society, you go back to life, then you realize the senses are so active again and you have not trained yourself in the daily life. You realize you cannot cope with life. Then every time when you encounter a problem, you stress again. No, I must go for retreat. Then year in, year out, you go for retreat. But every time you come out, at the most 1 week, 2 weeks peaceful, after that, same old behavior come back. Same old, what they call, those latent tendency come back to you. So you never really transform. You experience some fantastic peace, calmness, good meditation, but that doesn't bring about transformation in you, character-wise, personality-wise. That's why you cannot live, you cannot adjust back to life. But when you understand what sati is, then you stabilize it and bring it, bring that state that you have trained into your daily life, so that you not only 1 week Thursday class, 2 hours, you pay attention, meditate, and train your mind. Of course, you receive a lot of wholesomeness, merits, and whatever, virtue, and all those things, and understanding, then you straighten your view. But 6.5 days, or 6.75 days, you go back into life and become heedless again. So you ask yourself, are you training? Your 6.75 days is so much more heavy than the 2 hours, understand? That's why you have to supplement with what? Daily religious routine. Every morning when you wake up, do some puja and meditation. Then every day before you sleep, do. In between when you free, sit, relax, aware, contemplate, cultivate daily mindfulness. You have to actually develop this until you become a routine, until throughout the day you are cultivating anasana. Not only the four foundations of mindfulness, the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the four right effort. You think four right effort very easy, eh? You can rattle. Right effort to prevent, to abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech and action that has arisen. But to put into practice, you know that one takes how long? You have to be serious about life. You have to be ever mindful to see the wrong thought, the wrong speech, the wrong action, and the wrong way of living. then only you can develop the ability to abandon. And to abandon, there are five ways the Buddha taught. You have to reflect, contemplate until you're very clear, then you can apply. Understand? Then when you have developed the ability to apply, then when the understanding comes, then you constantly will be able to do it automatically. That's how you purify. Then after that, when you can develop the understanding of abandoning, then you will have the mindfulness and the wisdom through your straightening of view to prevent it from arising. When you can do that, you already progress. Then after that, right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you, where you are still very crude in the way you speak to people, understand? In the way you arise your speech, and in the way you communicate, or impart the message, or in the way you act and live your life, you're still very crude. You don't have the gentleness, the pleasantness, the kindness, the understanding that will bring about love, compassion, harmony. You lack contentment, you lack gratitude, you lack respect, you lack sincerity, honesty, all this good virtue you don't have. You must have the right effort to constantly cultivate anasana. Then all the right speech means pleasant, gentle and good speeches that bring about wholesomeness, bring about harmony, bring about peace, love, understanding, good relationship. Then you must cultivate all those, what they call, very, very refined type of speeches that can bring about a lot of wholesomeness. So all this demand right effort as well. Then after you have started, then you realize you have developed some. Then the last right effort is what? You have to refine upon all this and perfect it until it becomes a part of you. Until this thing is like your new habit, Anasana. You are naturally sincere, naturally very helpful, very confident, and naturally very eloquent with your speech. You are very gentle, very kind, very pleasant, and you are very helpful, Anasana. And you become a true Dhamma friend, and people can feel you. At this part, if you cultivate already very good, you no need to become enlightened, you are already very good, Anasana. You already take care of your good karma. Then after that, you have this goodness, you make aspiration by the power of this wholesomeness. You make aspiration for causes and conditions for you to always avoid the foolish. Meet up with the wise and the enlightened one so that Nibbana can be realized. It will pave the way and causes and conditions for this thing to arise. Then Dhamma can be realized. You know to invoke power of merit is very powerful. That's why towards the end of closing puja, I always chant this. It means punyang kamina. Punyang is your wholesomeness and merit. By the power of this wholesomeness and merit, may arise the causes and conditions for you to always avoid the foolish and the heedless. Meet up with the wise and the enlightened one so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. And this is what the Buddha teach. You must do that aspiration sincerely, with understanding. So, we chant all this closing puja because it is going to help you tremendously. That's why you must develop the understanding of it. Why do we chant? You don't just chant because Brother Theo chant. Or it's like a routine. Or every session also we chant. But if you don't develop the understanding, you don't see the importance, you will not benefit much. Understand? But this is an aspiration you invoke through your own merits, understand? Through your own blessings and good condition. Okay, another 12 minutes. Only pain, your question. Any other question? Yeah, okay, maybe now I talk a little bit about how to understand pain. When it arises, what caused you to label it as pain? Why you say it's pain? I know. What make your mind call it pain? Because you are? you are conditioned to dislike this type of feeling, understand or not? Because you have been calling it pain for so long, understand or not? And this is a conditioning, understand or not? What is pain? Pain is a sensation that you don't like, correct or not? So what is that sensation? Dislike or aversion, correct or not? Is that a hindrance? Ah, sensual desire and ill will. That's why you develop the hindrance inside your meditation without you knowing it. So what is a mental hindrance? A hindrance is something that hinders you from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why you cannot relax, you cannot be peaceful, because it's haunting you, disturbing you. Understand? Why? Because you label it pain. You don't have the right understanding, right view. Right view means what? When you are not relaxed, when the qi doesn't flow, when you don't know how to meditate, when you don't develop the spiritual faculty of sati and virya, then naturally all this will develop. Understand? So when it develops, you're supposed to silence your mind and see it. It's actually initially a sensation, understand? Sensation born of tactile consciousness, understand? Where your mind, with the consciousness trapped inside, this is one of your sense bases. Understand? When you are not relaxed, the qi got blocked there, or maybe you got some problem physical there, then it doesn't flow. Then because when you try to meditate, when you try to silence, it's more aware. You become more aware of the sensation. Then you are conditioned by your wrong view. You call it pain. It becomes a mental hindrance. And this is the second one. Ill will, dislike of the sensation. Then it hinders you from becoming peaceful. Where you are disturbed already. You already not at peace because that thing is hurting you, harming you, haunting you, and disturbing you. What you're supposed to do is silence your mind and just develop the understanding through the silent mind. When you are aware of that sensation, don't labor. That's why I say start with clean slate. Like a baby, you don't know what this is. If you don't tell the baby that this pain is something you don't like, you teach the baby from young, this one very good, very nice. Next time he will like pain. When he got painful feeling, the child will like. It's like you train him to, or her to eat this sour thing. Next time he say, I like this type of fruit, sour one. Yeah, it's a conditioning, understand? So when you don't have any conditioning, it means you relax, silent. Because I went through, I just silent. Then I was fully aware. There is no person inside there. The awareness fully aware of the tactile consciousness. Then everything that moves within there, I start to understand. Because the qi get blocked, it doesn't move. Then the pulling sensation, everything. Yeah? You still need your word to describe. But when you are silent, there's no word. You see all those movements. Then I realize. Yeah, I can accept the reality for what it is because I have a physical body. My consciousness is trapped inside. This is tactile consciousness. Understand? If I'm not relaxed, it will develop like that. I got two choices. Label it as pain and become miserable. Understand? Or accept the reality for what it is and just silent and continue to relax and see what happens. Whenever I do that, it flashes through. Then later on, it doesn't arise anymore. Don't even have to endure it. You just relax, gone. Relax, gone. No matter how intense. Then later on, it cannot come about where you know how to relax. Understand? So pain is a condition arising consciousness, tactile. If you don't understand, you go and label it, become a hindrance. Then when it's a hindrance, you cannot meditate. Understand? Where it's disturbing you. And what you want to do? You want to push it away. Understand? The aversion, that craving to push it away. So what you do? You go and try various methods and techniques. Understand? People tell you, what they call, go and note. Pain, pain, pain. Hopefully it go away. You go and try. All this, no matter what you do, understand? Sometimes it may go away. You use your determination. But there is no wisdom. You continue to repeat that mistake. Understand? Every time got pain, no. Until it's gone. Understand? It's just like you endure until it's gone. Understand? You come here to meditate, to develop understanding and wisdom, to develop the peace, the inner peace, the inner well-being, then to train your mind so that you can recuperate, you can recharge. But instead, you come here to endure and become miserable. Over what? Over a wrong view. Where you were taught that way. Understand? Then you go and know. And I heard last time there was one talk given one of the center many, many years ago. I think it was a Canadian monk, if I'm not wrong. He went to Burma and do meditation. And he relate the experience. No? He wants to break through pain. He wants to understand pain. So you know what he did? No? He endured for the 2 or 3 days no? Until he fainted. Fainted, no? Admitted to hospital for the how many days. No? And still haven't break through pain. That is torture. No? But you understand it's different. Means you do with understanding, you endure with understanding, you don't labor, you just silence your mind and continue. Then it will flash through. There is a shift of consciousness that will happen. Then you won't believe on. Amazingly, that's why I say like fairy tale, worse than fairy tale. Like the whole thing, the shift of consciousness, completely that sensation is gone. Then there is this brightness of light flash through your mind. Then there is this clarity. Then the energy is very different, very intense. Then your awareness, your clarity becomes so deep. Then that time you just check, use it to like scan through your body. Even that part that was originally very, very severe type of sensation, you just look into it. Completely gone. Nothing inside there. Yeah. Then that pulling sensation, everything earlier that you witnessed is all gone. Like suddenly, just like sudden shift of consciousness, the energy field, gone. Then you realize, hey, how come like that? Oh, so beautiful inside that. You can sit for hours, no pain after that. Then you can like completely relax and just silent. And the awareness is so sharp. Then you can see clearly. That sensation, the tactile thing is the tactile thing. The knowing mind that know this thing is another thing. And the two can detach. And this is the real nama rupa pariceya jnana. You can discern between form and mind. Yeah. There is no connection at all. The mind is the mind. The body is the body. Yeah. So all this can be realized, can be experienced, if you really understand how to develop that meditation. Another 3 minutes. Yeah, yes. What do you mean? No, you use the mic, yes. On already. Yeah.
So
you just speak.
Okay, you see the pain, can it be the tension or maybe the sitting position not in a line or what? You know, sometimes you feel the pain. Is it that one?
Okay, I try to explain to you. You see, I now in the sitting position, okay? This is a tripod, understand? 2 points in front. If full lotus, then it's here, the support. Then one buttock. You know what is a tripod? Your weight, bodily weight, is distributed to these three. So if you lean towards the front, your backbone not straight, you put pressure on the front two support. Then what you need to do is you feel that this one is numb or this one have problem already. Then you just sit straight and relax. Tip back a bit so that you shift the weight to the back. This is all wisdom, understanding. You have to know yourself how to relax. Nobody can teach you how to relax. Everyone is different. When you are young, you are different. When you do yoga, you train how to do those movements. Your body like very, very flexible, very soft. Then you know how to relax. But as you grow old, every part become more stiff. So you also need to know how to relax. And when you know how to relax, no more problem. I can sit for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, no problem. But why I want to do that? Unless I am training myself. During the early day, I sat very long. I can easily sit through 2-3 hours. And even when I came out to share, you ask them, they will know. Last time, my Saturday class, I start at 3 and at 6. I will be sitting down there without any movement. I just share, talk. Now I sit on this chair because they say they cannot see me at the back. That's why after the meditation, I sit on the chair. Otherwise, I would like to sit on this cushion. It's very much more natural for me. Well, I've been used to this type of posture. And I have had it for very long. And pain has never become a problem ever since 1989. Until now, no more problem. It never gave me any problem. And I never have any problem with pain. Even itchiness and honesty, no more problem. So all this you will come to understand. So like you say, if it's due to your sitting posture, you adjust it based on the tripod. Most of the time, if you are not relaxed, and you don't have a mind that can accept that reality. The reality is tactile consciousness. That's why silence your mind to feel. Don't try to know. You read the 12 September 2013 transcript note. When I say feel means what? I even teach you how to feel. I was like, put your hand on the mat or the cold floor. Then send your attention down there and feel. Silence your mind. Then what do you feel? The mind really detects that sensation. Understand? There is no thought. But the trouble with you is when you send your hand down, the mind start to label hand. Then you never feel already. The concept and the word come in already. Because you are looking at the floor mat, the hand, the finger. Your mind is not silent. So how you feel? You can never feel. It's busy labeling. Having a lot of concept. That's why when you do that type of noting vipassana, you are actually doing that. Then how can you feel? You can only feel when you are silent without thought. You can only meditate to understand what is going on when you are silent without thought. That's why the four foundations of mindfulness is about mindfulness. It's not about thought. The Buddha never say when you walk, you not walking or you think. Walking. No, he said just aware. Standing, aware. Sitting, aware. Moving forward, aware. Bending, stretching, turning, all aware. Understand not? Mindful. Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. Oh, 10:30 already, yeah. So we will now do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, yeah. Then you make your invocation for the blessing of the nation. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits to the devas. Akka sata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa Chirang Rakan to Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and to all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasadukalena sasa sampatihito cha Vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you do your aspiration. Ipina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.